Thank you, Chuck. Let's take our Bibles now, if you will, and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, as we continue our study and preaching through the book of Proverbs, taking different subjects. We talked about wisdom as a principle and what that definition is and why it's important. We've also dealt with the subject of anger and also adultery last week in Proverbs. And tonight we want to look at the subject of benevolence. Proverbs talks about benevolence. Benevolence, defined, is an act of kindness. And more specifically, we're thinking about a generous gift. Benevolence. Do we have any responsibility as believers to be benevolent? The answer to that is yes. And if we neglect that benevolence, we can be guilty of sin according to the Scriptures. Proverbs 11, 24 through 26. The Scripture says here, "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet or is necessary, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." Now, these are just a few verses of the Scriptures and Proverbs talking about benevolence. There are two or three others I want to mention, and there are some that would certainly be in other portions of the Bible. But Proverbs 14:21 says, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." That's biblical, amen? That's a Scripture. Proverbs 19:17, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord." How would you like to make a loan to God? "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Proverbs 22:9, another verse along these lines. "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread, his bountifulness, to the poor." Now, let me say at the beginning just a couple of comments. Number one, it's not always a matter that people have to deserve benevolence. We often think, well, they just don't deserve it, so I'm not going to give them benevolence or kindness. Well, let me ask you something. Did I deserve the grace of God, the mercy of God, the benevolence of God for me? When God saved my soul, I certainly was not worthy of it. And I think we need to keep that in mind. It's not that they deserve it. Now, sometimes I believe we do need to sit down with people and have a meeting with them and go over the situation and see what the problem is and why they are where they are. And that might be one of the most benevolent things we can do for somebody, is to instruct them, to teach them, to point out where they're going wrong and why they're having some of the financial difficulties that they're having. That can go to a lot of different areas in life, and certainly that would be something that needs to be done. I'm not preaching here just a social gospel, and I'm not suggesting at all that there's no responsibility on the part of other people. But I am saying that the Bible lays down some very definite principles about being benevolent, about not being selfish, about giving, and especially giving to those who are in need and those who certainly have some needs that we are made aware of. Now, he's telling us in these verses that I've just read to you that stinginess leads to poverty. That's what he's talking about in those verses. He that withholdeth, He that doesn't give, or he that is not liberal, that is a stingy attitude or a self-centered, accumulative type attitude. And we are so prone to have that attitude. I mean, that's just as common as can be that as Christians, we are tempted to hoard and to save up and to hold back and not be real liberal in our giving and not be benevolent in our giving. Now, he gives the principle throughout the Word of God, and it's a general principle. If we sow sparingly, how are we going to reap? Sparingly. And if we sow bountifully, how are we going to reap? Bountifully. And that certainly attaches itself without question to the matter of benevolence and giving. And so he says there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. That sounds almost like it's a contradiction, but it isn't. There's those who scatter, but they actually increase. Think of agriculture and think of a farmer when you think of that. But God is putting it in the area of benevolence. That's what he's talking about. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet or is necessary. And he says it leans and tends toward poverty. And then the liberal soul shall be made fat. God's going to bless. But look at verse 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. That sounds a little strange to us, but certainly we can see biblical examples of that. One of the things that comes to my mind is Joseph. When we think of Joseph in those 7 years of laying up in store there for Pharaoh all of that corn and wheat and all of that grain of that time. And we look at the motivation and the purpose of it, and we see in him a good example, because later on it was used really to feed the world of that day, because there was poverty everywhere else, there was famine. And he laid it up, but he didn't lay it up just to make a lot of money, but he laid it up, I believe, with God's leadership and blessing in the wisdom that he was given, so that when the time came, he might help somebody out and that others might have it. And they sold that corn. And I don't think he necessarily took advantage and jacked up the price like some people would do, like the oil industry sometimes, because of a shortage or a supposed shortage. The purpose of Joseph was not to build a fortune, but the purpose of Joseph was ultimately to help other people out when the time of famine came, and that's exactly what he did. Reminds me of the clouds. The clouds receive the moisture and the sun sucks it up into the clouds, but they don't hold the rain, although I think in Texas they hold it more than other places. But they receive it to give it away. And I'm glad we have some rain, aren't you? We may not have all we want here, but I'm glad we have some rain. They don't hold it. But I know a lot of Christians who are like that. They're like dry clouds. They just hold it and they never release it in the sense of great benevolence. There's an illustration in the Bible, I think, that would illustrate the bad side of this, and that was Nabal. Nabal married Abigail. Abigail was a very wonderful and beautiful person, no doubt. You wonder sometimes why she married Nabal. Maybe it was because he was wealthy, because it indicates that he was rich and that he had a lot of money. But David helped him to take care of his sheep when he was running from King Saul, and he was good to him and really did some wonderful things to him. And there was an occasion when he asked Nabal for some food, and he would not give it to him. He said, "No, I'm not going to do it." That again reminds me of a lot of Christians who have been saved by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the liberalness of God's great grace, and yet somehow we want to hang on and hoard and hold back and not be kind and gracious and liberal, and instead be self-serving and selfish and materialistic about things. And the people in the world do not get the gospel sometimes because of that. By the way, David wasn't too happy about that, and he came after him. And Abigail intervened and stopped him from causing some havoc on that occasion. But it's just an illustration of one who is blessed and yet he hoarded and would not give out. We need to be people that are free-hearted. We need to be people that give out, especially in the area of benevolence and in money. I think there's a spiritual application to this we can make also, in giving out the corn. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. Let's make a spiritual application to the corn and know that it could apply to the Word of God. That's why I need 50 people to go out on team soul winning to give the corn. Amen. The people need the corn. People need the Lord, Brother Chuck saying. And that's exactly right. People need the Lord, and we have the corn, but we're putting it in our places of preservation and our towers of silage, and we're not getting it out. We've got to get the word out. We've got to get the corn to them. We've got to tell them about Jesus Christ. We do not well if we hoard the gospel and we don't give out the corn. We show that we're interested mainly in ourselves. May God help us to surrender and be there and be part of it and say, I will sacrifice. People need the Lord. They need the corn, and I need to give out the corn. If we don't do it, they'll curse us. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Nobody else. But we need to give out the corn. Well, he says in verse 25, we'll be made fat. The liberal soul shall be made fat. I would assume there must be a lot of liberal souls in Baptist churches these days. We were together at our men's retreat the other day, and Brother Garza said, I like meeting with this bunch of men. And we said, well, why? We're eating breakfast. He said, because I look so small and so little when I'm meeting with you. I didn't think that was very nice for him to say that. But he's not talking about physical fatness here. He's talking about spiritual fatness. Amen. And he's saying that we'll be made fat. You see, if we are liberal in our giving and liberal in many other areas of our life, it may be giving human sympathy, helping people out when they need us. It may be just the general principle of being a person who is a loving person and a kind person, looking out for other people. You see, you'll find out that the friendly have more friends. Amen? It's just the way it works. The liberal soul, the friendly soul, shall be made fat, shall have friends. If you're friendly, you'll have friends, and we have to work on that. Another area would be hard work. You see, if a person will give out hard work, and they'll work really hard and labor hard, then the end result will be good because they have worked hard, and they will reap that. Because the liberal soul shall be made fat. I think it might get into that territory. And in general, just helpfulness. A person who gives their time and a person who gives their money and a person who gives in stewardship like we've talked about, that person, you will find, in turn, is going to receive many of those things. It is just a principle of the Word of God. Now, what are our rewards for benevolence? A lot of things, but number one is we have the smile of the Savior. When we are benevolent, He's pleased, and He looks down upon us, and I believe the Lord Jesus Christ smiles. That's what He's saying. The liberal soul shall be made fat. When we are gracious and not greedy, when we are giving and not selfish, then we're going to be blessed by God. And you got to remember that Jesus was rich, and though He was rich, the Bible says He became poor. Why? For my sake and for your sake, so we could be saved. I mean, you talk about wealth. He was God, and He made this earth, and yet He came and made Himself poor. He didn't even own a house. He didn't even own a donkey. There's always somebody's borrowed donkey and a borrowed bed and so on and so forth and a borrowed pillow. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't even have a place to call His own, yet He came because He loved us. That's the kind of sacrificial benevolence we need to practice and emulate, is the kind that Jesus Christ showed us when He came in this life to do that. So we have the smile of the Savior. We have, I think, many times gratitude right now that God shows us and then others show us. And if not here in this life, don't worry about it. We'll get it in the next life. The Lord will recognize it at the judgment seat of Christ. And then I think we have spiritual enlargement. As He says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. God is going to reward us spiritually if we are benevolent, kind-hearted, giving person. Proverbs 19:17, another one of those verses I read to you. Let me read it again. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That's an astounding statement, I think. If ye have pity upon the poor, ye lend unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. What a powerful verse when we think about helping out those that are poor. By the way, he teaches us we should not mock the poor. We shouldn't make fun of the poor. That it is a sin to do that. Look in chapter 14, verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. We shouldn't despise our neighbor. You may be gifted intellectually, but you shouldn't look down on somebody that is not. You may be gifted with some other areas of your life, but you should not look down on others that are not and consider them scum or consider them people of no value. You should not look down. We should not look down on somebody that may have some physical maladies and they're not like us, and we shouldn't make fun of them like many times they do. I think teenagers and kids can be the cruelest of all. But, you know, we need to understand that God made all of us. And to some, they were gifted very much and intellectually in some ways. Some have not been gifted. God can explain all that to us in eternity. But I can tell you this, we should never look down upon people like that. The pastor of the biggest church in the world should not look down on the pastor of the smallest church, as long as that's the best he can do. And he's doing it to the glory of God and doing what he can to bring people into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe God teaches us to mock the poor is a sin, because he says it is in these verses. It's a sin to make fun of them. Sometimes I understand that poverty is a result of sin. I understand that. Sometimes the reason the people in the predicament they're in is because they have sinned and they're outside of God's will, and therefore they're going to have problems. But even then we need to tell them about Jesus and try to win them to Christ and teach them better, and not just look down on them. Not look down on them. And sometimes, you know, some people have not had the advantages that you and I have had. There are people all over the world tonight that hadn't had the advantages you and I have. They can't help that. People in a lot of these foreign countries, if you were to go there and see the way they had to live and the poverty they live in, you would realize that sometimes it was no fault of their own. I often thank God, and I don't know why, I never understand it. I thank God I was born in the United States of America. And I would say that every person who is a citizen of this country ought to thank God that you're born in such a free country and a wonderful country like the United States of America. But everybody hadn't had that privilege. Everybody doesn't have all of those opportunities. And sometimes it's just because people stand for what's right, because they have spiritual integrity, especially so in other countries, but even so in this country. They could be well off, but they say, no, I will not lie, I will not cheat, I will represent the product properly, or I won't represent it at all. And sometimes that knocks them out of positions, that knocks them out of being promoted, that knocks them, simply because they say, I'm going to do what's right. And the boss says, no, you're going to be a socialite and you're going to come and drink with us. If you don't, you'll never get promoted in this company. And the man or the woman says, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do it. Well, thank God for that. They may not live the kind of life that others might live, but they have wealth that they don't know anything about. In Matthew 25, listen to what Jesus said. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. But then he tells them all the absolute opposite of that. And then they ask the question, when did we not feed you? When did we feed you? When did we not do this to you? And in Matthew 25:44, he said, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or thirst or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? When didn't we do these things? Listen to what he says. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. He said, it's just like not doing it to me. In other words, I think what he's saying to us in some cases is we should realize, we should look as if that person who is poor is Jesus Christ himself. Did he not say, if you don't do it to them, then you haven't done it to me, or if you do it to them, you have done it to me? So whatever it is, if we could just make them look like Jesus to us for that time period, based on the Word of God, then we could do it. And we'd go ahead, I think, and do it many times. God also rewards it. Look at chapter 19 and verse 17. The Bible teaches that God will reward us. Look at that. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. We're loaning God, and God's not going to be a debtor to us. There's not a person in this building that God's going to be a debtor to. He's just not going to do it. And so he is very clear about that. Now, again, when we look at the poor, we ought to look like we're looking at Jesus. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto whom? The Lord. We lend to the Lord. We make a loan to the Lord through that poor person. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. And so God always compensates, I guarantee you. Now, I don't believe in a social gospel. I really don't. And most of you know what I mean. I don't believe we ought to just go help people out and not tell them about Jesus. I don't believe we ought to give them candy, food, clothing, and all of that and not give them the gospel. Otherwise, all we've done is just sort of help their hurt for a little while. We need to tell them about Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, something we might should think of as a church, something we might need to contemplate is that sometimes we don't do enough in our society and to help people out so that they look at us and say, man, there are real Christians. We're giving you this. Well, why? When do I have to pay it back? What are you going to charge me for it and all of that? And we say, no, we're giving it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I know there has to be balance and there has to be wisdom, but I honestly think there are a lot of things we could do. And by the way, God didn't give the government or any social organization or anybody else the job to take care of the people downtown on Skid Row. He gave that responsibility and challenge to the church to carry the gospel to them and see that they come to Christ if they are willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there are just a lot of things we might be able to do and should do that we haven't done as churches, independent Bible-believing churches, to show that we are really genuine Christians who cares. And God will compensate us. How does he do it? He gives us character. That's a character-building thing. When we give and when we labor and when we work, I believe that each good deed that we do doesn't have anything to do with saving us, but it has a lot to do with building up the character in us. And God is looking for character. And then I think he rewards us by helping us in our time of need. When we have a need, when we're hurting, and who of us have not been there at some point in our lives, or will not be, most of us have, and I guarantee you, in my mind, I can tell you right now, those who helped me, those who came to my rescue, first of all, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, but outside of that, some very dear people who came to the rescue, maybe in a church need or whatever it may have been, God supplied them. And I believe God honors that and blesses that. And God will help us in our time of need if we're willing to help other people in their time of need. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. That's a promise of God. He giveth of his bread. The person with a bountiful eye giveth of his bread to the poor. There's a German proverb that says this: charity gives itself rich. Covetousness hoards itself poor. Let me read that again. Charity gives itself rich. Covetousness hoards itself poor. Another one we ought to think about is an Italian proverb that I ran across. It says, our last robe is made without pockets. Our last robe is made without pockets. When I was in high school, I worked in a funeral home, and I was involved in most every process of that, at least participated to some degree. But I can tell you that unless there was a shroud that came from home, it didn't have any pockets in it. It was if it was a man, it was split on the back, and all they did was just took it and wrapped it under the remains, and you didn't even see the split. It looked good from this side looking downward, but there were no pockets in it. I always thought about that. And let me tell you something, we're not going to take it with us, folks. And the only thing we're going to have in heaven is the things we've stored up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where rust and moth and other corruption cannot hurt them or corrupt them. And we need to, all of us, I need to keep that in mind. What we spent, we had. What we saved, we lost. What we gave, we have. Let me read that again. What we spent, we had. It's gone now. What we saved, we lost. And what we gave, we have. Here's what God's teaching us, I think. God is just simply teaching us that we need to be unselfish. And we need to be a very kind and gracious and benevolent person. And you know what he says? He says, that's wise. This is the book of wisdom. If we want to be wise, be benevolent. If we want to be wise, do not be selfish. Do not hoard. Do not be so materialistic. And God needs, and may He help us, to be very, very benevolent, very kind, very generous in our giving. And let me just say this, our giving needs to be with the right motive. Sometimes our benevolence is with the wrong motive. It's self-serving, self-glorifying. And God says, when you give your alms, don't go around bragging about it. Let God take care of it. The Lord knows it. And then whenever we do that, a pleasant thought, God is indebted to us. He said it. And that's sort of hard to understand and grasp, that God will be indebted to us. But that's what the Bible says. But I don't believe He'll be indebted very long. God's going to pay us back. God's going to take care of it. Let's have a gracious, benevolent heart. That means give to missions. Amen. That means tithe your offering and give above that by faith giving. That means put God's work first above everything else and anything else, even if there's some things you don't have that you'd like to have, some toys that you can't have because you put God first. There are a lot of toys that I think of that I'd like to have. My wife won't let me have them. No. I could take my tithes and offerings and all that are given to the Lord's work that my wife and I give, and I don't know exactly where we are on the list, second or third, maybe somewhere along there, but I can tell you this, it'll be worth it all when we stand before Jesus Christ. And some of those other things, meanwhile, I'll just borrow from you. The only extravagant thing I have, and they don't work too good, is my golf clubs, but at any rate, God knows all about it. Amen. Have a benevolent heart. Let's be gracious and kind and be sensitive and be looking for the needs of other people. What are we looking out for most of the time? Self. Why don't we ask God to give us an open eye and heart for the needs of others and look out? And when we see it, God says, don't just say, God bless you if they're cold. Say, I'm so sorry you're cold. But He says, take your coat off and give it to them. And God will bless us. And God will give us probably 2 coats, maybe 7 coats. Who knows? But God will take care of it. Have a benevolent heart. It's wise. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And we are is Your wisdom given to us through a holy writer by the name of Solomon. And Lord, help us to be a very gracious, benevolent people. Help us to look for those that might be hurting. Help us as a church to be sure that we have tender hearts and kind hearts toward those of our own number that may have some difficulties that they really cannot help. And help us to do our best to be benevolent. Help us to be benevolent to those who don't deserve it. And God, by all means, help us to not hold the corn of salvation, but to give it out to others who are hungry, who need to eat, who need to taste of the bread of life. God, help us to be faithful. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.